1 week from today's recording will be the world's first Marian Eucharistic procession, joined in by over 400 churches throughout the world. By the way, I will be live streaming that from my channel. One of the fruits of these incredible processions is Gregory, a man who owns a small farmhouse and dairy in Northern Ireland. Now, about 6 months ago, his life radically changed. He began distributing blessed and exorcised saints' oils of Saint Charbel, Saint Benedict, and many others. And the miracles that he began experiencing, along with his own, are absolutely incredible. Here is his story.
So Gregory, dozens, maybe even hundreds of miracles and healings have been happening here.
I'm blown away with it all.
Things that are incredible, and it's a piece of farmland. How did it all start?
Well, my brother-in-law Keith, who is maybe a non-believer, but and people always say he's the biggest liar in Ireland, you know, but he's a great big lad. He is. All my wife's family are very, very good, you know. And we started this. My son decided after COVID there, well, it was about 2-3 years ago. And over 2 years here now, he said, "Daddy, I'm thinking about doing a coffee shop." I says, "No problem, I'll help you, because I drive machines and do landscaping."
And you see coffee shops around where people have these little...
Just pull in and just
have
a coffee.
Beautiful.
Yes, and we actually were designated to go down to the bottom of the road, and I just says, "No, it's not going to work there, because I think because we're too close to the road, it's an entrance, we'll get stopped within a week." So we decided then I come up the road here, and I said, "We'll try somewhere else here." We come on up the road, and there's this wee piece of land here. It was just a big bit of a rough area. So I said, "God, this would work on here." And so we started, and from day one, me and him fought every day about the opening day. But I was doing my own work and then coming here at night, then taking days of my work to try and get this done. So my wife's brother Keith kept saying, "Hey, you need a farm shop out there." I said, "No," I said, I'm not doing a farm shop. So in July last year, Anthony came in, and my wife's having a few wee medical problems, and Anthony came in and left a relic in for my wife and stuff.
What was the relic of?
I think it was St. Benedict.
So this guy came into the picture.
This guy came in straight away, which sounds crazy. But now, so when we landed, the next thing I went over, my son said to me, told me a wee white lie, "That man wants to talk to you over there." I says, "Who is he?" He said, "He's a healer." I says, "What is he? He doesn't even know me." He says, no, "He wants to talk to you." So we went over. I went over to him and started to talk to him. And he explained about, just chatted about my wife and stuff. And we had a good chat. And just about my life. You know, a lot of things, childhood up. And I've always had a troubled life, you know what I mean?
Had a difficult life.
Difficult life. It didn't start off the best. But,
yeah.
You know, and a lot of, I have to admit now, a lot of it was my own doing. My drinking alcohol and drinking drugs and other carry-ons, anything. As Oscar Wilde said in one of his books one time, he could beat anything except temptation. So anything is, I was tempted, I tried it, you know. Get into a lot of trouble along the way.
Yeah.
And anybody was in front of me, you know, a lot of deaths, a lot of friends.
So you saw a lot of difficult things in your life.
Well, a lot of my family kept dying around me, you know. Friends killed in motorbike accidents and stuff. And I held my two fingers up to God when I was 20, and I said, "F you," I says, "I'm doing things my own way." Because I just thought, anybody gets close to me, I thought I was cursed.
Yeah.
Sounds mad. And I decided then I would do things my own way, and cause a lot of hurt, a lot of pain. Obviously, there's things I can't share because, you know what I mean? Because it would hurt people if I share them here. But it hurt a lot of people along the way, a lot of them. And but I've spent my life now trying to make amends where I can. So
then you had a conversion, and then all this kind of started coming to the picture.
Well, since I was 20 until I was 30, I done things my own way.
Yeah.
You know, I met my wife.
How old are you now?
I'm 53.
Okay.
And I was going to give myself a year. He said 50.
You look good for 53.
Aye, well, I feel good, you know. Well, I haven't touched a drink now, and I'm 21 years sober. I haven't touched drugs now, or 22 years sober, sorry. I'm 22 years sober, and I haven't touched drugs in 20, I think it's about 24 years now.
That's amazing.
So it's been, and you know what, it's hard. You know, and 2019, life got very, very hard for me. I tried to commit suicide in 2019.
So there's a, gosh, there's a lot that's happened in the last,
yeah,
less than 10 years.
Just leave me a bit, sorry about that, but
yeah,
leaves me a wee bit emotional, but because I'll tell you why I get emotional, because I just see the way everything's all happened now. It'll come to that, but
yeah,
the way everything has happened, it's the way everything's happened in my life, and I just see the miracles in my own life. And you know, my wife's been 1,000,000% behind me.
Yeah.
1,000,000, and without her.
How long have you been married?
Me and my wife's married now. Better get this right. Now, I...
We'll cut it out if you get it wrong, you know?
Right, that's all right. It could be, it should be.
It's like 20-something years?
No. We're together 20, 25, 26 years. And okay, I think we're married about 13, coming 14 okay years.
Yeah.
And, you know, she stood by me through thick and thin, and there's been bad times when I've tested boundaries. I'm telling you, like, if it had been the other way around, as she said, I would have kicked her to the curb, as they say.
Yeah.
And my mother told her to do it many times, you know. And but she's been a pillar of strength, you know. And when Mir Keelan was born, my first son was born, I feel at that time I was still drinking. I was still going on a wee bender, and, you know, and I found myself, when I stopped drinking, was going to AA and stuff, and Narcotics Anonymous, I found myself still needing a week off at work.
Yeah.
Still needed a week off. You know, even though I wasn't going out, and many times cost me jobs and one thing or another, but I didn't care. That's the life it was.
Yeah.
But I knew in my son, I wanted to do things different.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was ready to change. I felt at that point, you know, when Keelan was born, you know, I cried the first day I seen him when he was born. It was just this wee person lying, it was depending on me, you know.
How old is he now?
He's 24. Okay. So he's actually in Portugal, the wedding at the minute. There's a lot of holidays. I scowl about them, too many holidays, 20, or about three or five, maybe six holidays a year. But listen, it's his life now, you know. And, but I still see my two children. I've got Adam as well. He's 16, coming 17. Another little miracle in my life as well. Sad to say this, you know, but I'm going to say it. It took me to I was 50 to grow up and finally experience with my wife and three, giving childbirth. Yeah. And, you know, it's sad to say that. But then I was talking to my friend, John's a priest, and he says, hold on a minute. He says, I have men in here 70 and 80, he says.
Yeah.
who didn't realise it with their wife and three. So
yeah,
he said, look, he says, it's fine. So, as I say, back to my friend William died, it was horrendous. When William died, it was just, oh, it was terrible.
Yeah.
My little brother died as well. And you know, a lot of things, my cousin Maria, that seen in a lot of road accidents as well, and Dermot died, and Kevin.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of trauma there, you know what I mean? And I thought anybody got close to me was going to die, and caused a lot of mayhem along the way.
And
so when did you have your conversion back to the faith?
Yeah, well, it happened to me when I was 30. I finally got sober.
Yeah.
I started going, I did throw myself into religion a wee bit, started hiding.
Yeah.
You know, I had behind faith too, I had behind AA meetings and Narcotics Anonymous and things, I had behind all them things, but there's no hiding places for God, you know. And on it was New Year's night, my mother was up, and I had got very, very, very ill. I couldn't believe the vomiting I was doing.
Yeah.
But for 3 months I had been drinking water, and every time I was getting thirsty, I didn't realise I had diabetes.
Yeah.
So what happened then was, what happened was, I collapsed on the bathroom floor, and I shouted to my wife to get an ambulance. And my wife said to me, oh, wise up, you're all right. But I believe, you know, and I've never shared this, I believe at that point I was gone. Hey, how ill I was, the things that I was seeing, that was, you know, that sounds crazy what I'm going to say, and people say that man's a madman. That's fine.
But that you actually died.
Oh, definitely. I was gone.
Yeah.
You know, and it sounds crazy here what I'm for saying, but this was This happened to me in my bathroom floor.
Well, what did you see?
It was like, I was through into the air. It was crazy. And I was through into the air, and all of a sudden I landed at a field. Sounds mad, I know. But behind this bush, it was like an old field, and not an old stone wall. And there were two old things standing like a bull with two old stumpy horns on. Yeah. I said, oh, jeepers, I'm in hell. And all of a sudden, I was through into the air again, and I was in this tunnel. Sounds mad. I was in this tunnel, and I started to walk along this tunnel. I was like all white inside, but along the side, there was a door, like a light on it.
Yeah.
And the next thing, the door was vibrating like that, and I said, what the frig is this here? And I could look back, I could see myself lying. Sounds crazy, I know. But the smoke went for it, who I didn't know who the hell he was, because I didn't believe in God. That's just, you know. So the next thing, this monk appeared in front of me. The next thing, he started doing this here, waving his hands like this here. But I started feeling heat. It was a heat that I never experienced in my life before. Now, I kept...
was it like a healing?
Yeah, oh, definitely. It was threw me out, rather, and he just kept me back. And all of a sudden, this peace and stillness come over the top of me. And all of a sudden, the door, he opened the door, it was light. And I looked at him, it was just the peace I felt. And I said to him, am I dead? And he just looked at me like that, and we done, and he banged the door, and I woke up on the bathroom floor. So, not thinking what was wrong, I started getting sick again. My wife took me to the doctor, and she says, you're diabetic. So my blood sugars were in their 30s. So I explained to the diabetic nurse what happened. She said, my wife, you know, you should have got the ambulance for him. You're lucky this man's alive. You know, and I've never shared this before with my wife or anything, you know. But I took a bad leg all down the left side. I couldn't put the left leg down. It was horrendous, the pain. So went there and went to the doctor, and he said, listen, I'm praying and hoping, he says, that you haven't got this disease in your leg. He says, we'll have to amputate your leg.
Oh my gosh.
So I said, jeepers. So I was panicking. So I went to Achill Island with a friend of mine. They have the Jeep automatic, took her down to Achill Island. Uh-huh. Went down there, and I was horrendous pain. He went in, he got his shoulder healed. I lay in the car park snoring. Everybody around me, thousands of people there, and I was lying snoring my kite off. But I didn't get nothing. I said, oh, jeepers. I was very disappointed. Two tankfuls of diesel down, but that's the way it was meant to be. So he called in, he says, listen, I want to take you again. He says, up to Sister Susan in the house of, what is it?
It's like a house of prayer?
Aye, up in Mount Carmel.
Yeah.
Up outside Letterkenny, you go by Donegal Town.
Yeah.
So we landed, and he took me up onto the nun. She wasn't there, and I said, oh, jeepers, be Sister Susan. But this woman said, listen, I have a gift of healing. Come on. She said a prayer, and she said, look, I did feel a bit easier.
Yeah.
So we were leaving. She made us tea and all. We were leaving. The next thing she said to me, the nun pulled in. Sister Susan pulled in. Now, that woman walked forward to me, and I swear to Almighty God, she walked forward to me, and she put her hands in my face like this. And she said to me, did you get a little bit of ease on your leg? And there's no way, because that woman never left the room.
Yeah.
There's no way she would have known. And as if...
So she knew that you had just been slightly healed.
She said to me, get back in there. She says, your leg's not healed. And I went back in, and I believe that woman seen my soul. And I hadn't been in confessions for 19 or 20 years. And she said to me, you know, the light of Christ is shining through you. And I says, my God.
It probably didn't feel like it was.
Oh, definitely, I thought.
Yeah.
You know, but she obviously seen something.
Yeah.
I didn't see. So that was all right. I went in, and she prayed with me for about an hour on my knee, and I felt stuff moving on my back. And the next, she said to me, your leg will be healed tomorrow. And because of diabetic, I know diabetic, I'll tell you, you're running to the toilet all night, especially when your blood sugars are unstable and stuff.
Yeah.
So I was running to the toilet that night, and I went to the toilet that night, and 3 o'clock in the morning I get up, and I go to the toilet. Not a pain in my leg.
Oh my gosh.
And my left leg has never come back again. And I've been crushed with a forklift since that,
yeah.
And the leg has come back to full recovery.
Oh my gosh.
When your leg was healed, how long had you had that pain?
Oh, but I was off my work for about 4.5-5 months.
Oh my gosh.
That was I was just like, oh, pins and needles up and down your leg.
Yeah.
That was terrible. I believe it. I had diabetes disease in my leg.
Yeah.
So it was powerful. So that started, and then I started, as I say, I went to prayer groups and different things. And
you start growing in your faith, start growing, attending retreats, things like that.
Went to Carseo.
Yeah.
Very life changing for me. Helped me a long way, a long, long way. I'll be forever grateful.
Yeah.
And, you know, so certain things which I can't broadcast here, but something happened. A family member and left me a lot of anger and resentment, and there become a battle between me and other people,
yeah,
if you like. And I nearly was going to war with everybody, and they had a man on the farm killed me with a bull with me. He was killed. It's my first experience ever seeing anybody dying, and I seen the life leaving him. And all through my head was, because I was so angry at a certain thing that happened to my family, I was nearly ready to kill for it. And all through my head that man was dying. God's the giver of life and God's the taker of life. God stopped me from doing something. Because I'm telling you, I would have done it. And the person knows what I've done for what happened. But it's not the time or the place. But so I walked away from the prayer life right up until last year. Because I was so bitter and so angry and hurt. And a lot of just things just didn't feel that I was worthy of this. And I see Anthony come in with a relic for my wife, and we started talking, and he mentioned about Padre Pio. He says, I come here, I was explaining what happened to me. And he says, you know, Padre Pio, I bought a set of rosary beads today. I thought they were for your son. They're actually for you. And I have the set of rosary beads. So, go back to my wife's brother, he said, but would you be interested in, or would you not go for the farm shop? I says, no. And then I says, you know what, I will. So I said to my son, he says, go ahead, Daddy, work away. So we started this wee farm shop.
Yeah, and in the farm shop you have you sell like organic foods.
All
things like that, and you have the little coffee stand.
Yeah, we have the coffee bar there, which is, he's just been voted the place to go to. The best coffee and dairy.
We're going to get some afterwards.
We are, certainly, definitely. And I have a few other wee coffee places around there I love going to too.
Yeah.
And especially, I'll give them a wee mention.
Yeah.
I love to go into the Hive, and I also like to go to Hawthorne's.
Yeah.
And their cookies is lovely as well. So.
I know the pastries here, it's like better than in France and Italy.
Great. It's powerful. It's powerful. Definitely. But, you know, so we got the farm shop, and then Anthony said, would you put on the wee oils? So my wife says, hey, that's why not? What harm could it do?
Yeah.
Then the people was coming in, and you know.
When did the oil start? Was that right away or a few months?
1 week before Christmas.
Okay.
Then the people come back.
So like 6 months ago.
The miracle started happening.
Yeah.
You start thinking.
What are some of the oils of? Like, well, saints and things like
that? We've got Saint Charbel. My favourite is Charbel now, if I'm honest. You know.
but
at the same time, you know.
They don't get jealous.
No. But no, but he's my personal favourite. But now I'm sort of starting to swing by St. Benedict's, you know. So, and we also got St. Philomena, we've got St. Peregrine, we've got St. Joseph, and now we've got the St. Benedict's oil as well. So
people would come and you would just offer them if they were sick or something like
that? We sort of keep it 2 per person. But people being people, and certain, if they've come a long way, we do make exceptions.
Yeah.
And the nicer you are, the more you receive.
The more you get.
Well, if you're very rude, see you later. most people, and you know this, some people that's in here and they're the most sickest people that critters hate, and they're the most humble.
Yeah.
And I love to see them coming, you know, and you know, I love being here myself.
Yeah.
There's such a peace here. And you know, the more of these miracles is coming. I mean, we had a woman this morning come from, if anybody knows Rathmullen. She has to be across on a boat, come over from the boat from Rathmullen to Mancrana and drive here. She drove past the place 3 times before she got here. She was here this morning, and you know, she said her son keeps lifting St. Benedict's rosary beads, but she loves St. Charbel. But she says, well, I said, this is the man's here. So, and she stood there this morning, she cried, you know, and She's just, they're so humble to be here, and that's great.
Yeah.
Yesterday you were telling me about some incredible healings. What were some of the, I know there's many of them.
One of the traveling community, Tommy, and not because I'm allowed permission to deal out, Tommy was in a coma, and he had a lover.
Yeah.
So his mother-in-law and Nora and Mary, I think it's, they come here looking for oils to send to him in Manchester in England. So we give the oils to them and they're over, and I hadn't heard, some people goes away, you never hear from them again. So they headed away and they come back, and she says, I'm here to thank you. So I says, wait, what? Tommy was, you have 3 days to 3 weeks to live. And it was, I've seen the photographs, it has been yellow and
so he was in a coma because of his liver. Then then they said, you have 3 weeks.
3 days to 3 weeks.
3 days to 3 weeks to live. And then they gave him one of the oils.
Charbel. Put the Benedict's medal around him. And put Charbel. Actually, what happened, they went up to the canteen. And somehow the doctor doesn't even know how he had the strength to open the bottle of Charbel. And he rubbed it all over him. And 3 days he was cured. And he believes it's in Charbel. Now, on the 11th of July here, we have invited him here to share his miracle.
Yeah.
And we're actually inviting anyone who wants to come to share their miracle. And there's many of them.
Yeah.
Share some more, because some of these, I remember yesterday, people with their eyes, there was, you had something like with your arm happen.
Yes, I 12 years ago on Boxing Day, my son had one of them Irish cob horses.
Yeah.
Of course, I was 41 at the time, and
yeah,
he didn't want to go out. He says, it's too cold in Boxing Day. I said, here, I'll jump on it. What harm can it do?
Yes.
But I'll tell you, anybody knows that at 41 you don't bounce the same.
Yeah.
The horse went over the top of me, and I actually ended up with permanent damage, 3 vertebrae damage in my neck. My shoulder was completely shattered.
Yeah.
For pain from there to an elbow, oh, it was horrendous. Fuzzy acupuncture, went everywhere to try and get the shoulder cured. Anthony comes in one day and he said to me, there's Philomena oil. I says, right. He says, no. So I thought, right. I opened it and I pinned the whole bottle. He says, what are you doing? It only takes a drop. I said, I'm giving myself every chance. He said, it doesn't work at me. So he said, look, there's the relic of St. Charbel. Hold on to it. But Anthony drove off.
Yeah.
He forgot I had it in my pocket. So the whole day I was scooting about. I was scooting about the whole day. And the next morning I milked cows, you see, for a man down in Eglinton. Yeah. And I was milking the cows, and normally I have to reach in my left arm because of the shoulder, that bad a crushing. Because I fractured 3 ribs as well.
Wow.
I bruised the liver and everything. I was lucky to be alive, because what actually happened was the hospital, I actually went for the x-ray, and my wife actually, they actually phoned my wife to see where I was. I didn't wait on the x-ray, but I actually did. I actually headed off. And because I had sheep at that time, and they were lambing, I had black sheep, and I wanted them, and my mate had turkeys, so I wanted to give them a hand, and the sheep was lambing. So I went to the physio, I said, here, tip them ribs up. He said, I'm not supposed to do that, because this can cause pneumonia in your ribs. I said, tip them up, I have to get moving. So that's what I did. And so the hospital eventually phoned my wife and said, where is this man? This man needs to get to the x-ray clinic. So I went on. I ended up in a neck brace for 4 months, and he said to me, you're lucky to be alive. He says, my God. So he says, look, no more farm work for a while. And I said, that's okay. So I've got a very bad crush on my horse, and I wasn't killed. If I had him, my son, he'd have been killed, because he wouldn't have survived it.
Yeah.
And
so then you met Anthony, and he gave you the St. Charbel.
He gave me this charitable relic, and I run about, and the next morning I was on milk, and I was putting on my right arm. I didn't realise I couldn't have done that with my arm, honestly. Yeah. And look at that there, that is, look.
Yeah, it had perfect. Like full movement, like as if nothing happened.
Just a wee bit of clicking, an odd time, that's it. But from there down, no pain.
Yeah.
Gone completely.
Yeah.
And it's madness. And I was like this here on the Melbourne part. Is this real or is it?
Yeah.
I was doubting it. And then I realised, and you know what? I suffered that for 12 years, that was horrendous.
Oh my gosh.
That was powerful. And that, back to that fella Tommy too, he believes that it was St. Charbel cured him. So we invited him, as I say, we invited him here on the 11th of July to share a story, and Nora's mother-in-law will do it for him if he can't make it. We actually had when one of the traveling community came in, we've actually sent Peregrine oil last week. We've got three more miracles.
Yeah, tell us some of those.
They have three. Had one in Dublin had cancer, one in Cavan, I think it is, one in Cavan, and one in Manchester. Three of them cured. We sent.
They all had cancer.
All cancer, like it's gone. Oh my gosh. So, and one of the women was actually on her Facebook page. If you look, she shared one of the miracles. The woman had fluid behind her eye. Uh-huh. Sandra, you call her daughter, and she had fluid behind her eye, and she had the St. Philomena oil in the back of her eye. We went off the scan again, and the fluid's gone.
Oh my gosh.
So we actually had a woman here, wee fella as well, lives out in Carrigan's there. I hope she doesn't mind me sharing. He actually, her wee boy now has had multiple seizures all his life. And she come here, and I was either Anthony or Barry, myself, some of them give them St. Joseph oil. And she's had, the wee boy's had 2 days now with the St. Joseph oil, no seizures, no nothing. Unreal. And her image there, as you've seen when you come in there, of St. Charabel, had a joiner come in here. Again, anybody's free to come and share their miracles. Some people are reluctant. There's somebody in Craigan as well.
Yeah.
His wife died, a heart attack. And my brother-in-law took the St. Charabel oil onto him. And he went up, he had a scan. They said he had cancer back for that scan. Gone. No cancer. And the joiner came in and he said to me, look, I says, can you do anything with them hands? He's a kitchen fitter, can't straighten his hands. Well, I says, that's had a very special blessing with an exorcist priest, three different blessings in Latin, and three different blessings in Latin. And I said, look, people feel pins and needles, some people feel heat, and some people feel peace, touching that image.
Yeah.
He went over and he touched this here, I'd given him a terrible oil. He walked over to the front of the farm shop, he turned, he said to me, hey, my hands are pins and needles. And he went to walk off, and he turned again, he said, my whole body's on fire. And he turned around and he says, he says, just keep using the charcoal oil, keep using it.
So that's even within minutes of doing that, he's already feeling the healing.
That's powerful. He came in 2 weeks ago, said to my wife, where's that man at? The wife says, what man? The man told me to go to the image. She says, he's working today. And he says, look at that. My hands are open and closing. The time he listens, the first time in 20 years. And Anthony was actually here. There was two or three people in there. A woman came out and she said to me, my father, Davey, said to me, I was to come out here and see you. I says, right. I've wild pains, arthritis, fibromyalgia. I says, go out and touch that sign the way the joiner that I told him to. And Anthony was there. We felt her hands. She went out and touched it. Come in. Touched the palms of her hands. They were on fire. Within seconds, her whole body was on fire. She says, I can't believe this here. That's crazy.
It's incredible because, you know, some of these people, like you're mentioning, that they've been having these illnesses or injuries for years, and they've probably gone to doctors and taking medicine. I mean, it's people, they've tried everything.
Of course.
You know, and then they're really, really desperate. It's not like people that, it's not as if they're people that haven't tried. They've tried.
Oh, of course.
And nothing has healed them.
We had a girl on one Sunday.
Yeah.
She was having a breech birth. She was getting in the next morning for emergency section.
Yeah.
And I give her the healing medal of St. Benedict. I said, look, that medal is very powerful. That healing medal was given to me.
Yeah.
And she felt a lot of heat from the medal. And I said, I'm going to give you Philomena oil. She says, I'm going in the morning for emergency section. So they actually got her ready to take her down to have the section. Uh-huh. And she felt a jerk in her belly after using the Philomena oil and all, and the baby had turned. The doctor says, so she had a natural birth.
Wow.
And that's it, you know.
And I'm sure on top of whatever blessings that child is going to be given.
Mm-hmm. And, that's powerful.
Yeah.
My cousin Carol too, she was here, and she was up, and she had a very, very bad shoulder. And she held the medal in her hand. It's a Benedict medal. You see one patch here, or where the pain was, that's the butt was soaking, where the pain was. A round circle, he could have drew it on, and the sweat was coming out, and she felt that heat. And for 2 years after, she felt the imprint
of the metal.
For 2 years after. That's, there's so many I think there's about 15, at least 15 Marians here.
Yeah.
I've seen people coming in there who don't look very well. You see them maybe 2 months later. Do you remember me? I do remember you.
Yeah.
Because you see the change in them.
Yeah.
That's powerful. There's so many here.
What's incredible is it's only been 6 months.
I know.
You know, it's not even... And I'm sure when you started it, you just thought you were going to sell coffee and eggs and milk, which is good, you know?
Of course.
But this is...
Yeah, this is just went to a different level.
Yeah.
And, like, we have... With Sister Claire's family, we've got her image coming tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're just waiting now. The cross is going to go up as well.
Yeah.
And the reason I put a wooden cross up is because... We've got plans for up in this corner here. There's a grotto, a ladies' grotto.
Yeah.
We've got the plans and all for it.
Yeah.
And the cross is to go there. It's to reach out to everybody.
Yeah.
Because if we put up our Lord on the cross, it becomes maybe too Catholic for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
We want to reach out to everybody. So,
yeah.
You know, and we're all Christians at the end of the day. And that's.
Yeah.
But it's just the miracles has been here. And people come here and they just start crying. It's the peace they feel.
Yeah.
And this gives them hope. And you know... I've said, my wife said to me sometimes, jeepers, you're spending all your time here and one thing. I said, but you know what? You see, if this...
I mean, after all these things that you're experiencing, you don't want to leave here, you know, want to stay.
And I said to her, look, see if somebody comes here. If they come here and stops them committing suicide, you know, if it stops them committing suicide, stops them lifting another drink, gambling, beating up their children, might stop somebody being sexually abused, somebody being raped. If there's a conversion here, if there's something, and even brings a cancer, or someone with cancer, that brings them hope. That's the best that we can hope for.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know...
It makes you not want to leave, you know?
I know. And that's, like, we've got a lot of plans here. You know, we have a lot of work to do yet, as you can see. But, you know, it's a growing progress. It's a work in progress, you know.
What's been the reaction of friends and family? Has it been hard for them to believe, or are they excited about it as well? Or because I know sometimes in countries where that, you know, here that the faith has been here for centuries, so sometimes people, you know, they could feel like, well, I already know it.
Well, Ireland's a country that you know, and I maybe I'm a wee bit biased here, but we're so blessed as Catholics because we believe. In the saints, we believe in the angels, we believe in Our Lady, which is more important. You know, we believe in all the things, which makes it even more special, Catholic prayers. And of course, like, people do walk away, well, have walked away from their faith. I was one of them people,
yeah.
You know. And like, there's times I sit there, you know, and I do struggle times, you know, in mental health at times, I do. It's hard. But, you know, God just tells me, listen, you're going nowhere, you know. You're here for a long time, and like I believe in them oils, I believe in it, and I see it. I don't need anybody to tell me. Listen, people can have their own opinion about me.
You
can't
deny what you've seen.
No, definitely not. And even the change in me. I mean, up until 6 months ago, because I had walked away from my faith before. And
yeah.
I was an angry person. I had hatred in my heart. And
yeah.
Now I just love everybody. You know what, and that's the most, like, my friend's a priest, John, he always said to me, all you have to do is love everybody. And that's not easy sometimes when they're terrorists, isn't it?
Yeah, that's hard to do.
But it is hard to do, but you know what, all you have to do is offer. Some people just come in there, all they want is a hug,
yeah.
All they want is an ear, and all they want is just to listen. And that's, whatever they want, we try and accommodate for it, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, business is slow. It does slow at the minute, but you know what? It's okay because I believe in what we're doing here.
God's gonna send you somehow the people that you need.
Yes.
And the people that need it.
Yes.
Like, well, Gregory, I think I really hope the whole world hears about it. I'm gonna put down to where people can see how they can order it online. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I think it's incredible mm-hmm. that God is able to use you as an instrument. You know, mm-hmm. and I think that gives hope to other people who think, well, if I've done so many things in my life. Not only I can't come back to God, but God certainly can't use me. And you're showing them that he will use and wants to use everybody.
Well, I want to share this with you, right? This, I feel I have to say this. I struggled with sin badly because of things I've done, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and I know it's not nice when you have to say, but, you know, if my sins were all wrote there, I own them all. That's the first thing you have to do, is own them. Yeah. And I confess to them. But it still doesn't stop the demons in your head thinking, I've done this, and, oh, that one there, jeepers, I've done that, I've done this.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, I was only a priest from Benburb, and I hope to see him again. You'll never realise how much he helped me that day up in the Castle Fund prayer group. Honestly, that priest, I can't remember his name, but my memory's wild bad. And he said to me, what do you think of your young life? I said, I'm ashamed of my young life, what things I've done. I'm ashamed of, totally disgusted with a lot of things, you know, but I can't change them. And he said to me, did you ever hear of St. Paul of the Corinthians? I said, I've been honest, I said, maybe I go to Mass at times, I hear it, but I don't hear it. No. Well, he says, St. Paul of the Corinthians is my saint, he says, the greatest saint of them all, he says. And he says, also the greatest sinner of all the disciples.
Yeah.
Because he held the cloaks for the Romans, they stoned the Christians to death, which was terrible offences against God's people.
Yeah.
So, what actually, he says, happened was, he says, Gregory, he says, Christ forgave him. He touched him and converted him to be the greatest saint of all. So he says, the moral of the story is, if Christ can forgive St. Paul of the Corinthians, the greatest sinner of all the disciples, and the greatest saint in my eyes, you'll be no problem. So that carries me through now. So when a past sin comes up to me, when I'll smoky, as Anthony calls him, throws a sin, I just say, well, sure, I'm forgiven for that. You can throw whatever you want at me, you know. And my friend John always said to me, you know, you mind being a soldier? And I said, well, if it goes to Iran or to Iraq or Afghanistan, wherever. He says, you know, this is so important for you now, he says. And I said, what is it, John? I want you to get to confession once a week. I want you to receive the Eucharist at least once a week. Because he says, you're on the front line there, he says, like a soldier in Iraq or Afghanistan.
Yeah.
So he says, I'm telling you now, he says, see, whatever Satan throws at you, he says, and Father Antonio also told me the same thing.
Yeah.
Great man he is too. And he says, look, it'll be like bullets hitting your bulletproof vest. He says, the demons will just ricochet off you.
Yeah.
So he says, keep up the good work, he says, and I can see Christ in you. And he says, look, I'm so proud, he says, the way you've turned your life around, he says. And me and him has remained friends for over 20 years. He helped me through drink and drug addiction, and also when I tried to commit suicide. And he just says to me, look, you're my best friend, he says. And he says, look, he says, at the hour of my death, he says, I'm going to die before you, he says, I would think, he says, at my age, but nobody knows. But he says, the hour of my death, when I go before Christ, I'm going to plead that he gets you into heaven. And you'll always know I'm around, he says, because I'm never going to leave your side, he says. He says, I promise you that. And me and him shook hands that and hugged one another. And I said, that's, we have a pact now then. So he'll become like my guardian angel or I'll become his. That's,
yeah.
And I always go to him faithfully with confession. I love him to bits. And he's now 60 years a priest as well. So,
wow.
So as I say, life's very good and I'm trying my best. That's,
yeah.
And I just hope, listen, that people keep coming and listen, the oils are free. Just come, lift the oils,
yeah.
And just be humble and be peaceful and be patient. If there's a bit of a queue, sometimes it's hard because older people do take a bit more time. So, and there's plenty of oils. So, and I'll be bottling up. People doesn't see Saturdays, Sundays, late nights. I'm trying to run my own business and then do this and then doing oils at night. Nights I'm out in my shed at 2:30 in the morning bottling oils. And
Gregory, gosh, it's incredible what God is doing here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's even more exciting, I think, what he's going to do here in the future. I think it's going to be something incredible.
I know.
Why don't we finish by asking the Blessed Mother to pray for all of this, to for everyone who's going to come here and everyone who's going to watch this interview.
Yeah, no problem.
Hail Mary,
full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary,
Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.